I was planning this series, and I didn't really call it a series, but before the new year started, I started planning this, and I wanted to start the year off with talking about foundational stones in our Christian walk. And so since the beginning of the year, we talked about prayer, and then we talked about the Bible and its importance to our lives as Christians. And if you missed any of those messages, they're on our church website. You can listen to them from there. But another foundational stone I'd like us to look at this morning is worship. And worship is an important part of our faith. And I think as Christians, we sometimes get the wrong idea about worship. We feel it's all about the music that we sing. It's all about the songs and the music. And I understand why it's easy to come to that conclusion, because we talk about it a lot. We talk about the worship service, and we talk about the worship team and the worship leader and the worship songs and the worship courses, and we enjoy that worship experience. And so we lump the music in with worship quite a bit. And we read many Bible verses which talk about singing praises to the Lord, such as Psalm 100, verse 2, and this is just one of many. Worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him singing with joy. David worshiped the Lord in song and in dancing and reveling before the Lord. And we notice the whole Israel nation worshiped the Lord in song with Ezra, where we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6, "Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Without a doubt, the Bible has much to say about worshiping the Lord in song, but worship is much, much more. So what does it really mean to worship as a Christian? Well, the word worship comes from an old English word called worth-ship, which means worthiness, an acknowledgement of worth. So worship is acknowledging the worth of what we're worshiping. For us as Christians, that means living in a way that shows we see God's worth in the world and in our lives. We acknowledge that worth and value of God above all else. He is worthy of all our love and all our loyalty. He's worthy of all our efforts, all our courage. He is worthy of everything we do each day, not just while we're here in church on Sunday. Worship isn't an event, it's a lifestyle. It's our whole lifestyle. There are many things that we do to express our worship to our Heavenly Father, like singing songs, praying, giving, and serving, and the likes. Worship is something which needs to be threaded throughout everything we do. Webster's Dictionary defines worship as honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. We see that worship is less about expression and more about the heart of the one worshiping and to whom they are pouring their love and submission to. Listen to Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." Israel had fallen into a trap that their actions of worship were more important than the attitude of their worship. The people thought, "I'm offering sacrifices. I'm taking care of feasts. I'm honoring God in feasts. I'm doing what is right. I must be worshiping right." Yet they were not worshiping from their hearts. Those were things they were commanded to do. And they were just, as it were, checking off the boxes. Yep, did the sacrifice. Yep, did the giving. Yep, did this. Yep, did that. So I must be worshiping. But it was just a duty. Those were things they were commanded to do, and they were just checking off the boxes, doing it because they were the rules men had taught them. This is what you need to do. You know, we can be really guilty of that. This is what we need to do. It goes this way. We come, the pastor welcomes us, we sing three songs, we do the offering, and the announcements, then we sing three songs, then we do a message. That's what we do. And if we don't do it that way, then we're worshiping wrong. We can get in that trap. We just do it. A lot of times when we talk about worship, we focus on what we do and if we are doing it the right way. But when we look at the Bible, that was often the problem with the Israelites. Focus so much on the things they did and how they did it, and they didn't think about what was on the inside. Where was their heart during it all? Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, and he's talking to the Samaritan woman who he met at the well, and they talked a lot about worship. And in the end, he says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Jesus is saying that to truly worship, it must be something we do not from obligation and tradition, as it needs to come from our spirit, from the depth of our heart. It needs to come from our innermost being. We don't give of our tithes and offerings because the Bible says this is what you must do. We don't pray and read the Bible just because we should, because it's a biblical principle. If that's the case, if that's the main reason why we're doing things, then we have it all wrong. We have it all wrong. We need to do those things out of a deep love for our Heavenly Father, from the depth of our heart, from our spirit. And that's why Jesus said you need to worship in the spirit. When we start to grasp the truth about our Heavenly Father, we start to see who he is and what he's done for each of us and for the world, it just brings worship from our innermost being. When we really grasp that the Father, his character and his love and what he does, his actions, it just brings that truth, that worship out. It will produce that extravagant love and extreme submission in our lives, which will flow from our hearts, from our spirit. Think about this picture for a moment. As we're walking down the street, a car comes from behind us. We don't see the car, and it's about to hit us. We don't know the car is there. We don't hear the car. But at the very last minute, some stranger reaches out, risks their life, and grabs us and pulls us out of the way of the car that is coming from behind and going to hit us. After all that happens, and we sort of gather ourselves and we find out what actually happened, do we look at the stranger and just say politely, "Thank you"? I don't think so. I think we couldn't give enough thanks and praise to the stranger for risking their life to save ours. I don't know if we could even cap it. And I've seen it time and time again on the news hour when somebody, a fireman has gone in and rescued somebody, or somebody's been pulled out of, they've fallen through the ice and somebody rescued them, risked their life and rescued them. Those people don't have enough words to say thank you and praise them. This is what Jesus is saying. When we really grasp the truth of our Heavenly Father, what he has done and who he really is, our spirit will well up with worship. We can't contain it. It won't just happen on a Sunday morning. It'll happen 24/7 when we start to realize that God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins, to pull us, as it were, out of the way of death, of eternal death. How could we not? How could we not worship 24/7? With our lives. This is what Paul is saying in Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul is saying, when we really recognize God's mercy, God's grace, which he had been writing about in the last 11 chapters before he got to Romans 12. That's what Paul writes about in those first 11 chapters, a lot about God's mercy and grace. When we really realize that, we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. In sacrificing every area of our lives to the Father, we are worshiping him. In the Old Testament, Israel worshiped as they gathered to give sacrifices. And that's what they did. They gathered and they sacrificed a lamb or a goat or a... And as they sacrificed, they worshiped. But when they sacrificed, they gave the best lamb or the best goat. They didn't give one that was lame or one that was blemished for some reason. No, they gave a spotless, perfect lamb. from their flocks or herds. Paul wrote that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are not that dead sacrifice on the altar. We are a living sacrifice. Our sacrifice is our daily lives, which we live here right now in whatever community we live in. Whether it's Cache Creek or Ashcroft or Spence's Bridge, Lytton or Savanaugh or wherever we live, we are to worship the Father in those communities. We worship our Father by offering ourselves, all who we are, when we are singing, when we are praying, when we are reading our Bible. We should be fully focused on Jesus and not other things. Like, what are we going to have for lunch? Or what I'm going to do later on in the day. And I have to admit, there's been times when I've been in a song service or in church, and my mind's got going about, oh, I got to do this later on, and this and this and this. I'm not worshiping. I'm not really engaged. I'm not focused. In everything we do or say, we are to worship the Father. In other words, if we are helping our neighbor by shoveling snow or looking after their children or doing anything else, we are to give them our best. Just as the Israelites offered the best sacrifice, we're to give our best. We are to help them so our Father will be glorified. We're to help them as if we were helping our Father in heaven. As we help, we are offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord and thus worshiping Him. We read in 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides him, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. If Jesus is the center of our worship, then He must be the center of our lives. How does worship become a lifestyle? Well, we talked about it a little earlier. We started to say it's by knowing the truth about God. Worship will start to become a lifestyle when we know deeply who God is and then how He acts. But really, to really make worship a lifestyle, we must continually be focused on God. We cannot just have drifting thoughts of Him on a Sunday morning or from time to time during the week. David knew this, as we read in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, I have set the Lord always before me, because He has my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. As we focus on Jesus, worship becomes our natural response to the life He has given us. As we see in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, this is the life that is there at that time. And they're focused on God. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. They're focused on God, on the Father, on the Lamb, on Jesus. And so the worship just comes. Is it not true that what we focus on is what becomes first place in our hearts and what we will ultimately worship? If we focus on material things and they become my main thought, then they become my focus of worship. If I buy a brand new car and I'm all focused about that and all I do is wash it and clean it and take care of it, then I start to worship it. I'm going to rock the boat a bit here. I hope you'll come back next week. And some might take exception, but if we focus only on the Bible, and that is where my thoughts or where I focus, where my thoughts are, and not on the one who it's all about, I will start to worship theology and how the Bible is put together. You know, there's history and poetry and all that stuff, and I'll just study that, and I'll miss the one who it's all about. I'll miss the Creator. If my focus is on music and not on the one the music is about, then I start to worship the style and the words of music and not the Lord of the music, Jesus. If I focus on my job or on a ministry that I have, that I'm doing, rather than Jesus, again, I'm worshiping the wrong thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? All those things are good. Our ministry is good. Singing and song is good. Reading the Bible is good. They're all good. But if they become the main focus and Jesus and the Father are not, then we're worshiping the wrong thing. No wonder David stated that he would always set the Lord before him. We need to take captive our thoughts that Jesus might always be before us. Worship is not an event. It is all about a lifestyle and attitude which focuses on Jesus. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, in those final days, as he was entering that Palm Sunday, the people were shouting and waving palm branches. They were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And they were shouting and they were worshiping Jesus as he was coming into Jerusalem, as he sat on that colt. And the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Tell the people to be quiet. They are not right in what they are saying." Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 40, "I tell you," the Pharisees, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Jesus is telling the Pharisees that if his followers don't worship him, The rocks will cry out. The nature will praise him. And isn't that true? If we look around and see the beautiful nature that is around us, all that God has created, we see the rocks and the hills and the mountains and the trees and the lakes. Don't they all praise God? Don't they all declare his praise? As people can look around at the rocks and the hills and the trees and the lakes and all nature, giving glory to the Father, may they also see us worshiping the Father in all that we do. May our lifestyles cry out worship to our Lord. It's not just about an event. It's not just about Sunday morning. And I don't say that so you go, oh, well, then we don't have to come Sunday morning. That's not what I'm saying. Because corporate worship, man, there was a nice sense of corporate worship. There is on Sunday morning. There's something about gathering together, singing together, and praying together, and giving together. The whole service is worship because our lifestyles are worship. Let's pray. Father, truly you are the one that snatched us from the grips of death, from the realm of darkness, and brought us into light. You've given us all that we need. And Father, may our lives express your worthiness, your worthiness. May we acknowledge that you are the one who is worthy of our praise, of our lives, of all we do. You're worthy to be glorified and honored and exalted. May we do that, not just here on Sunday mornings, but where we live and where we go. 24/7. Thank you, Father, for who you are. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.